We're going to continue to see in this Mishnah be'ez Hashem, the milas the Chazal applied to Kodesh over Truma. We had 5 in the previous Mishnah, we're going to have 4 in this Mishnah. First, a quick hakdama. Let's say we have a person who's an avatum, and he touches another person, or he touches another keli, or he touches food. So that person, that keli or food, becomes a rishon l'tum. If that rishon l'tum touches food, that food becomes a shein l'tum. If that rishon l'tum touches a person or kelim, nothing. A person or kelim can only become tummy through an avatum. So let's say we have a person who's an avatuma that touches an apple. That apple is a rishon l'tum. That apple touches an orange, and now that orange is a shein l'tum. That orange touches a plum. If it's chulin, that plum is a nothing. There is no shlishi when it comes to chulin. However, if we're talking truma over here, there is a shlishi when it comes to truma. The more kedusha, the more sensitivity to truma. So what if this orange that is a shlishi when it comes to truma touches an apricot that is also truma? The answer is nothing. There's no revi when it comes to truma. There is a revi, though, when it comes to hegdish. So basically, sheni is the last stop for chulin. Shlishi is the last stop for Truma, and Revi is the last stop for Kodesh. Now, we'll get to that further on in the Mishnah. In this first Mila in the Mishnah, it was important to know this, but that's not the main point. Later on in the Mishnah, we'll see why we made this Hagdama. Okay, let's begin our Mishnah, Peri Gimel Mishnah Beis. This is the first of 4 Milas we're going to see that Hegdish has over Truma, 4 Chumrais, and it's the 6th in the overall count. In order for a Keli to become Tamei, it has to be finished. The keli wasn't finished yet, it doesn't become tummy, even if it comes into contact with tuma. So if you're working on a keli, maybe a good idea, not to totally finish it, not to click the last handle into place, until you make sure that you can watch it and that it's guarded. Beforehand, you don't have to really watch it, because it won't become tummy anyway. Zak the Mishnah. Kelim anek morim b'tahara, even a keli that was finished b'tahara. Srichin tefillah, you'll still have to tevel it, l'kodesh when it comes to hegdash. Avalei l'truma, but it's not necessary when it comes to truma. So wait a second. I'm coming with a keli, and I'm saying, you should know as soon as I click the last handle into place, as soon as this keli was finished, it was watched the whole time. Now can I put Basar Hegdish in it? And I'm told, not before you tivel it. Why? I was watching it. We're going to say, but you weren't watching it before it was finished. And I'm going to answer, I didn't have to. Even if it came into contact with truma then, before it was finished, it wouldn't have become tummy. You know what we're going to say? Here's our concern. It may be a remote concern. When it comes to Hegdish, we're extra careful. The roik, the saliva of an Amaretz, is tummy. For whatever reason. What if an Amaretz came by? He's standing near the keli. You're not careful because you didn't finish the keli yet. And some of the saliva from his mouth falls onto the keli. Afterwards, you finish the keli. Let's say you snap the last handle into place. And some of the roik that was there from before, some of the saliva is still moist. Going to happen is, it's now going to be in the time of the keli. Now, you're standing here from the second you finish the keli and you're watching it. But you don't chap. Even though no Amaretz came near the keli after it was finished, that the roik is still there from before. That's why we're saying in regard to Hegdish, but only in regard to Hegdish, that you have to tivel it from beforehand. So once again, the words of the Mishnah, kelim hanigmarim b'tahara. Kalim that were finished. And from the point they were finished, I watched them to make sure their tar, no Amaretz came near this Kalim. After it was finished, I still say, Tzrichin, they require tefillah, that you have to tell them the Kaddish when it comes to Hegdish, because of the concern that maybe an Amaretz came before it was finished and his Roik is still on the Kali. Avaloi l'truma, but this is not a concern when it comes to Truma. So once again, the words of the Mishnah, Kalim hanigmarim b'tahara. Kalim that were finished. And from the point they were finished, I watched them to make sure their tar, no Amaretz came near this Kalim. After it was finished, I still say, Tzrichin, they require tefillah, that you have to tell them the Kaddish when it comes to Hegdish, because of the concern that maybe an Amaretz came before it was finished and his Roik is still on the Kalim. Avaloi l'truma, but this is not a concern when it comes to Truma. Okay, Sak the Mishnah Vayter. The second Milah that we're learning about in this Mishnah, in Mishnah Beis, that Hegdish has over Truma, and it's the 7th overall. Hakli mitzarev, the Kli connects Masha B'tachi, what's inside Lakodesh, Avalei L'Truma, but not for Truma. Let's say I have in one Keli a lot of pieces of Hegdish, of Basar Kodesh. And then a person who's an Avatuma comes along, and he touches one of the pieces. So what should happen over here? Well, the piece that he touched becomes a Rishon L'Tuma. What about the other pieces? Well, normally there's a sequence. The piece that touches a Rishon becomes a Sheni. The piece that touches a Sheni becomes a Shlishi. And the piece that touches the Shlishi becomes Rivi. If we're talking about Basar Kodesh, that goes to Rivi. And if they're not touching each other, so it's just the piece that this Avatum attached. Everything else should be Tahar. Zakta Mishnah, no. Because it's all in one Keli, in this particular case, even though they're not touching each other in the Keli, and even if the Keli is not a Keli, even if it's on, let's say, a table or a board, but there's some physical entity that's connecting it, when it comes to Hegdish, we say it's all Tame. I'll tell you even a greater Chiddush. Let's say the person who touches the Basar Kodesh is a Sheni L'Tuma. Who would be a Sheni L'Tuma? Let's say he's a Tful Yoin. That means he toiveled himself for his Tuma. He's almost tired, just has to wait for the sun to set. Before the sun sets, he's a Tful Yoin, and he's a Sheni L'Tuma. And he touches one of the pieces over here, so it should become a Shlishi L'Tuma. But if they're all in one Keli, it all becomes a Shlishi L'Tuma. In the first case, when the Avatuma touched one piece, everything here becomes a Rishon, because it's all in the same Keli. In the second case, where he's a Tful Yoin, he's a Sheni L'Tuma, and he touches one piece, it all becomes a Shlishi. It's as if all the pieces are one piece because they're in one Keli. And this is a Chumrah just for Hegdish, not for Truma. If you have pieces of Truma over here, just because they're in one Keli, they're not connected. If an Avatuma touches one piece, that piece is a Rishon. That's all. If you'd have a second piece touching the Rishon, it would be a Sheni, another piece would be a Shlishi, and then it would stop. But that's it. And if it's not touching, it's only the first piece. There's no din that they're connected because they're in one Keli. But by Hegdish, they're all in one Keli. And as explained, Lavdafk, even a Keli, even if it's all on one board, it's as if they're all one piece. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, Hakli, Mitzarev, connects, Masha B'toichi, what's inside, Lakodesh, when it comes to Hegdish, Avaloi L'Truma, but not for Truma. Zok the Mishnah Vayter, this is the third Maila that Hegdish has over Truma. In our Mishnah, and it's the eighth overall that we've been learning. And this we already explained, it depends how far the Tumah goes. What was the last stop for Chulin? Remember what we said? Sheni. There's no Shlishi when it comes to Chulin. What's the last stop for Truma? Shlishi. There's no Revi when it comes to Truma. And what's the last stop for Hegdish? A Revi. Now, the way the Mishnah describes the last stop is that we use the term Pasul as opposed to Tame. Anything that receives Tumah and in turn could be metama something else, we use the Lashon Tame. Anything that receives Tumah but can't be metama something else, in other words, it's the last stop, whether it's Sheni for Chulin or Shlishi for Truma or Revi for Kodesh, we use the term Pasul. So, Zok the Mishnah. HaRevi BaKodesh. Pasul. By Kodesh, Revi is the last stop. Zok the Mishnah. HaRevi BaKodesh. Pasul. An Avatuma touches something, it becomes a Rishon. That Rishon touches something else, it becomes a Sheni. The Avatum is Metama the Rishon. The Rishon is Metama the Sheni. The Sheni would be Metama the Shlishi. The Shlishi would passel the Revi. We're not going to use the word Metama because the Revi can't make a Chamishi. So HaRevi BaKodesh Passel. It's the last stop. It becomes Passel, but it can't be Metama something else. The Shlishi BaTruma. By Truma, Shlishi is the last stop. So I would say the Av is Metama the Rishon. The Rishon is Metama the Sheni. The Sheni passels the Shlishi. I don't say Metama the Shlishi because the Shlishi can't be Metama anymore by Truma. And that was the eighth mile that Hegdish has over Truma, that there's one more step. It goes till Revi. Zok the Mishnah Vayter, the ninth mila, the chumra that Hegdish has over Truma, and it's the fourth in this second Mishnah. And this is in regard to Taharas Yadayim. In order to properly understand this, let's try to remind ourselves what we learned earlier in Perik Bey's Mishnah Hey. There is a mila, B'Kodesh, over Truma in regard to Taharas Yadayim. If your hands became Tame, it's one of the Tumais that's Metama hands, but not the Guf. Let's see, you didn't touch an Avatum, you only touched a Rishon L'Tum. So Midrabana, your hands become a Sheni L'Tum. So he said, you're not allowed to touch Truma until you wash your hands with the Revius of Mai. Kodesh is more Chomer than Truma. In regard to Kodesh, it's not enough to pour water on your hands. You have to toivel your hands in a Kasher Mikvah. Now, why that's not officially listed as one of the Milas that Kodesh has over Truma, so the Mefarshim talk about that, we won't get into it. But that's not what we're referring to. We're referring here to a different aspect of this. In regard to Truma, if one of your hands become tamei, you only have to be metayer that hand. But in regard to kodesh, besides the fact that you have to toivel your hands in the mikveh, there's another chumrah, that's the chumrah we're referring to over here. Even if only one of your hands touch the tumah, you have to be metayer both hands, as the Mishnah explains. Uba trumah, if you want to touch trumah, then the din is im nitmeis achas miyadav, if one of his hands became tamei. In other words, it touched the sheni l'tumah. Chavrta tahira, the other hand, the second hand, is tahar. That second hand would not passel trumah should he touch trumah with it. And this is true even if his second hand touched the first hand. However, uba kodesh, if he wants to touch kodesh, and one of his hands touched the sheni l'tumah, the din is matbil, he has to toivel in a kosher mikvah, shteyen, both of his hands. Although the Rambam says, when does he have to toivel both of his hands? It's only if the second hand touched the first hand, or if the first hand is still moist from the mashkin. But if the first hand is already dry, and the second hand didn't touch the first hand, then all you have to do is toivel the tamadikah hand. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say, there's an additional chiddush over here, but let's first touch the words of the Mishnah. It seems that the Mishnah is just repeating itself. Shehayad metamez chavrta b'kodesh, one hand is metama, the other hand when it comes to kodesh avaloi b'truma. Now the Gemara explains that the Mishnah is being mechadish over here as follows. Let's say Reuven touched a sheni l'tumah with one of his hands, and then that one hand touches Shimon's hand. Shimon's hand also requires tefillah, but only if Shimon's hand touched the hand of Reuven that touched the tumah. If Reuven's right hand touched the tumah, and Reuven's right hand touched Shimon's hand, Shimon's hand also requires tefillah for Hekdesh. But if Reuven's right hand touched the Tumah, and Reuven's left hand touched Shimon's hand, Shimon does not require any tefillah. He can't be metama Shimon's hand. So really the Tana is just emphasizing over here the Chumrah. If I'm Reuven, it's not just that if I touch Tumah with one hand, I have to toivel both hands in regard to Hekdesh. But even if my hand that touched the Tumah touched my friend's hand, he also has to toivel his hand. And that's what the Mishnah means to say. That Hayat, the first hand, that became Tamei, Mitame es Chavrta. It's even Mitame, his friend's hand, when it comes to Kodesh. Not in regard to Trumah. In regard to Trumah, only the hand that touched the Trumah requires Netilah. His other hand doesn't require Netilah. And if he touches his friend's hand, it doesn't require any washing. Okay, so what were the chumras of Hekdesh that we learned about over Truma in our mission over here? We learned that even though I was 100% careful to watch this keli as soon as it was finished, assuming that as long as I watch it from this point on, it has to be tahar, because it doesn't become tamei beforehand. Still not good enough for Kodesh, because we're scared what? Remember what our concern is? Maybe an Amaretz was here before the keli was finished, some saliva from his mouth fell on it, and it's still moist after it was finished. That is a chash only for Kodesh, but not for Truma. Then we learned that Hekdesh has a Chumrah. Anything that's in the Keli is considered one piece. If you have in one Keli many pieces of Kodesh, and a person, let's say, that's Tomei is an Avatom, even if it's a Tful Yom, and he touches one of the pieces, it's as if he touched everything. So if he's an Avatom, everything becomes a Rishon. If he's a Tful Yom, everything becomes a Shlishi, because a Tful Yom himself is a Sheni. But this Chumrah, that even if the pieces don't touch each other, it's as if it's one piece, it's only by Kodesh and not by Truma. Another Chumrah we learned is, what is the last stop for Hekdesh, Revi? What is the last stop for Truma? Shlishi. Something that's a Shlishi touches another piece of Truma, the other piece does not become Tummy. There's no Revi by Truma. But if a Shlishi touches a piece of Hekdesh, the Hekdesh becomes a Revi. And the fourth Chumrah that we learned, the fourth and final Chumrah in our Mishnah, there's still more coming, is that in regard to Truma, if one of your hands touches a Sheni L'Tumah, the other hand is tar. You only have to wash the hand that came into contact with Tumah. But when it comes to Kodesh, you have to not only wash, but you have to toivel both hands. And the Mishnah concluded by saying that the rule is, Shayad Metama es Chavrta B'Kodesh Avaloi B'Truma. We explained from the Gemara that the extra Chiddush over there is, let's say Reuven touches Tumah, not only does his other hand become Tameh when it comes to Hekdesh, but if Reuven touches Shimon's hand, if the hand that touched the Tumah touches Shimon's hand, then even Shimon's hand requires Tefillah.